With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nightside with Dan Ray. What's your take? What's your take? Call 617-254-1030 or 888-929-1030.
No, it's not.
The News Watch never stops on WBZ News Radio.
Rob, I'm not sure if you're able to hear me there, but I didn't get an acknowledgement from you. So if you, good. Okay, that's great. Okay, please acknowledge when you can, because this is always difficult if we lose communication. Welcome back, everybody, as we move towards hour number three. Don Huff, thank you very much. It's 10:09, just a little bit past, just about 10:09 exactly here in Boston, Massachusetts. A warm, muggy night. We've been beset by rains, showers, and drenching monsoons in many parts of New England for the last couple of days. Now, we will get back at some point later this week towards the whole concept of defunding the police. I mentioned at the end of last hour, and I really believe this, that there was a point in time in this country about, 50 years ago, kind of when Archie Bunker, the satirical All in the Norman Lear All in the Family comedy, in which there were, a lot of Americans were described as people who would say, like the country, love or leave it. And we were told back then, can't say love it or leave it, because dissent is the highest form of protest, highest form of patriotism, And we all were cautioned, you can't say to someone, love it or leave it. You burn the flag, or you want to topple a statue, or you want to loot, or whatever. You can't say that. That's insensitive. So we can't say that. However, what we see now goes beyond dissent. What we see now really goes towards anarchy, in which, again, people will do what they want to do. And if you can get rid of the police departments, then people can do whatever they want to do. And you'll have riots. That is, I think, what is envisioned by some of these folks who are pulling the strings. That is not to say that 90-95% of the people who have been protesting are not out there for the right reasons, because everyone in this country should be treated equally and fairly. Everyone, whatever their background, whatever their color, completely. And when it doesn't happen, and what happened to George Floyd, disgraceful. Does that mean that every police officer is perfect? No, of course not. There are some who are evil, and certainly Derek Chauvin, the only word to describe him is evil. To do that to another human being, you wouldn't do that. If you saw someone in the street doing that to a dog, you'd stop him. You'd stop him. Why the other police officer did not stop Chauvin, that will come out at trial. But again, I'd like to continue to talk about that. But I want to mix in another topic, and that is the incessant desire by President Trump to tweet. So apparently there was some sort of a protest or a parade of support for President Trump down at the Villages, which is a huge retirement complex in Florida. I have never been there, but I'm told it is huge. And apparently there were people driving golf carts with Trump 2020 signs. And some of the counter-protesters got into it with the folks who were supporting President Trump. And this is a little bit, we're going to go to cut 11 first, Rob. This is some of the counter-protesters accusing the Trump supporters of, wearing, where's your white hood? You'll hear it here. The audio isn't great, but this just gives you a sense of this. And this is a retirement community, okay, where people are supposed to go and enjoy their life. They've worked 30, 40 years. The golden years at the Villages in Florida. Let's play cut 11, please, Rob.
Where's your wife, Roy?
Okay, so that was the phrase white power. Now the president actually retweeted this video. We have it in a shorter form here, and I wanted you to hear a little bit of it. A little bit. This is the shorter form. Cut six, Rob. Now that's pretty civil. You got one group of people screaming racist and the other clown white power. Okay. You look, people are stupid. Okay. And people can be evil. No doubt. There's no room, for, in my opinion, cries of white power. You know, we are an amalgam of different backgrounds. We're Americans. Okay. So anyway, you heard the comment. So President Trump apparently sees this video, claims, I assume, I hope he didn't tweet it knowing that the phrase white power was there. So, but it's his incessant desire to tweet and retweet as opposed to worrying about the issues that are plaguing all of us, which raises in my mind the question of, is this president, at the end of the day, going to, in effect, tweet himself out of the White House? I mean, he claims, and his office claims, and the tweet was removed. Now, one member of the Senate, Senator Tim Scott, who happens to be African-American, Black American, American Black, whatever phrase he may use, in cut five, he's a Republican. He supports the president, but understandably, as a Black Republican or American Black, whatever phrase, African American, whatever phrase he's comfortable with, it bothered him, and certainly should bother him, that the president either would be so callous that he would retweet that knowing, or so negligent that he would retweet that not knowing what he was retweeting. This is Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, cut five.
What's your reaction to the president retweeting that?
Well, there's no question he should not have retweeted it and he should just take it down.
Does it offend you, though? I mean, it offends me, and I'm white.
Well, listen, I mean, if you watch the entire video, you can't play it because it was so profanity laced. The entire thing was offensive. Certainly the comment about the white power was offensive. There's no question. I mean, we could play politics with it or we can't. I'm not going to. I think it's indefensible. We should take it down. That's what I think.
Pretty clear. Pretty direct. Good for you, Senator Scott. So the question before the audience, and again, if you want to talk about defunding police, we can continue to that a little bit. But I want to mix in, is this president, Donald J. Trump, in effect, going to retweet or tweet himself out of the White House? I just don't get it. They talk about Joe Biden's mental faculties, and that's going to be an issue in the campaign. You got to, in my opinion, question President Trump's mental faculties for him not to realize that the American people are sick of the tweets. We're sick of the tweets. 6-1, at least I am. Going to go to Al up in New Hampshire. Al, going to start us off this hour. Thanks for checking in, Al. How are you tonight?
Hey, Dan, thank you so much. As always, great show and so interesting and provocative as always.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We try.
Yes, you do. You do a great job.
Sometimes it's the callers who are provocative.
my two questions. First of all, you know, Twitter blogs Trump all the time. Why didn't they block this?
Well, I don't know if they caught it. It certainly would have been. Maybe they looked at it and said, hey, if he wants to tweet something that stupid, That's on him. I don't know.
But think about it. It's the interesting part for me because, once again, and I don't, please forgive me because I don't remember the political consultant's name, but I was up late at night one night and I heard Romney's campaign manager discussing Twitter with Obama's campaign manager. One of the things they talked about was Romney kept saying, you know, they had the dog on top of the car and or he fell down, you know, he had wrong socks on or whatever,
yeah.
And it wasn't a big problem. And what the interesting part was, it's the political class. When you look at the demographic, the political class listens to and takes their lead from, according to Obama's campaign manager at the time, from Twitter. So the problem for Twitter is that it's twofold. One, it's a political activities place for the political class. And I think that's where Trump gets hung up, where he refutes them and fights them. And this battle happens. It's this almost like it's this existential battle. And I'll
Al, let's think about this for a second, okay? You what you're saying is absolutely accurate, but he's the president of the United States. How much time in your job can you spend on Twitter? I send out one tweet a day, which is what's coming up on my show. I don't engage in any back and forth with people on Twitter. I don't retweet anybody. People on Twitter, they'll say, Dan Ray had a great show last night.
I love what you say, but one of the things that I learned in that discussion was that Romney's campaign manager said, we didn't realize and we didn't refute any of these things on Twitter. We didn't do it. We didn't refute it because we thought it was so ridiculous. Why would we care if Romney had
just to run the name by, was it a guy named Stuart Spencer?
I think he was an older gentleman and Obama's guy was a younger man. I wish I knew.
Well, you had David Plouffe, so you had David Plouffe, and then you had Axelrod.
No, it wasn't Axelrod. It was a younger man.
David Plouffe, I think, is who. Yeah, but whatever.
What was interesting was he said, Biden's guy said, the problem was that they didn't take it seriously because they didn't think it was that important, and that's where the mistake was.
Well, first of all, Romney's running against a popular incumbent president in 2012. If you recall, Romney did very well in his first debate. I think the first debate was in Denver. The reason I know he did well was that he shot up in the polls and people were saying, well, President Obama arrived late for the debate and maybe the altitude of Denver impacted him. Well, that was a way of saying in a nice way, we got our clocks cleaned. President Obama came back and won the second debate and then he destroyed Romney in the third debate. Romney just, I think, figured that the race was won, and when you're running against an incumbent, particularly as popular as President Obama was, he just wasn't smart enough to realize. But the question is, if President Trump has used Twitter to his advantage, there comes a point in time, a point of diminishing returns, and he's past that point.
I agree. I think people are moving away. One of the most beautiful things about this is people are moving away from Twitter. I think the political class that used that was the, should I say, the Ivy League so much, is now people are moving, the general public is moving away from that platform. And I think that's a positive.
All right. Well, you might be right, Al. Do you think the president should spend as, my question is, do you think the president should spend as much time on Twitter as he does? Give me a yes or a no.
I don't think he should, but I think that he almost has to refute what's going on because you got all these platforms against him. He almost has to cause the controversy to get people to listen.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that he probably would agree with you if he were listening, but I think you're both wrong on this. And I think I think he's tweeting his way out of the White House. That's my opinion. I can be wrong. That's my opinion. You disagree. And I appreciate you taking the time to call and presenting a different point of view. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
Talk to you soon. All right, let me go to Donna in Dorchester. Donna, I'm going to get you in here before the bottom of the hour news break. How are you tonight?
Really quick. I just wanted to say, Dan, hi. How are you? I'm good. I wanted to say it was an early question when you still had the retired police officer on okay, and somebody called and asked how does Black Lives Matter separate themselves from this situation with the Marxists? Okay,
right. Yep.
Essentially was a question. So I'm going to suggest a couple of things. Okay,
sure.
First, it's a TED talk, which everybody, you know, and it's an interview with the three leaders from Black Lives Matter.
Okay,
and those ladies will sit there and they will talk about nothing that has anything to do with Black lives, okay? It's a total leftist agenda, globalist agenda, climate change, and whatever else, okay? Then their shirts that they wear, they say ASSATA, and I'm going to spell it, A-S-S-A-T-A, taught me. So who ASSATA is ASSATA Shakur. Her real name is Joanne Chesimard. She shot and killed a New Jersey State police trooper in 1973.
Is she the woman who's now still living in Cuba?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
And this is their hero.
Yeah.
Okay. Black people are being misled, and the issues that are being addressed by this movement is not their issues. And they know how they want their children to be raised, and it is not in this direction. And not really all I had to say.
Well,
I want to say
is I don't know who the women are that you're referring to.
Well, you can look them up anytime. You can look up who created Black Lives Matter. You'll find their names, and you'll find out everything about them.
Well,
and
I think everyone should do that. I think that Black Lives Matter, and I could be wrong here, help me out. I think that Black Lives Matter sort of developed out of the Ferguson, Missouri situation.
That's
back
correct.
In 2015.
And these three ladies, mm-hmm. and I can name them, but I really don't want to go look for it right now. Patrice,
yeah, no problem.
Hello,
okay. I'll do a little research
okay,
on it. Look,
and
I think
one more thing I wanted to say.
Yeah,
Dan,
I want to say one thing though. I'd like to say one thing. I'll give you final word.
Okay.
I think that most Black families in America, whether they're, you know, two-parent families or single-parent families or blended, whatever type families, they want the same thing that most white families want.
I couldn't agree more.
Want a better life for their kids than they had. They'd love to have a job, have, you know, some job security, have a skill, make sure their kids get a better education. They want the exact same thing as most white people.
And in this country, we have had affirmative action. We've had lots of things working towards this. I do not believe this is an organic movement by Black people that I know, okay? Anyone that I've ever known in my entire life, okay, are extremists or Marxists. And like all of us can be misled by something that sounds good. Donate to the animals. And then we find out that that we donated to save the animals to a place that doesn't really save animals, that puts them to sleep.
Right. But what I'm trying to say, Donna, is that just as you have on the progressive left, some, you know, you had the Weather Underground.
People are directly connected with the Weather Underground.
Right.
Okay?
But what I'm trying to say is,
what I'm simply trying
to say, if I can get a word in here.
Okay.
What I'm simply trying to say is that the vast majority of Black Americans want the same thing for their kids and their families that white Americans want. And there are crazy Marxist, anarchist, whatever you want to call them, on the left, on the progressive left. Again, whether it's the Bernardine Dorns of the early 1970s or the latter people that exist today, who happen to be white or happen to be Black, who are looking to take this country in a fundamental different direction. They will vote for Joe Biden because they think Joe Biden will basically go along with what they want. They are taking advantage of this horrific murder of George Floyd. And I think that all of our voices should rise and say, we need to make sure that every person in this country, irrespective of their skin color, is treated fairly by the police. Because as long as that perception and reality exists that they aren't, that then provides fodder for those who would divide us and who would basically, as Lincoln said, united we stand, divided we fall.
I couldn't agree more.
You got it.
Dan, can I say one more thing on the police? I think that we have given, there was a time when we started to talk about, have we given the teachers too many jobs, okay? I think the police have too many jobs, too many laws that contravene with too many people. I think that needs to be looked at. I believe in my heart, of all hearts, that people look at who is leading BLM in the direction they are being taken will turn their heads on that. They have to look
fair
at
enough.
Who's
you made,
leading
you
them.
Made that point already. Okay. You made it again. Thank I got to run. Donna, thank you much. Appreciate your call. Have a great night. 617-254-1030, 888-929-1030. Your point of view is welcome. Coming back here on Nightside.
Nightside with Dan Ray. The News Watch never stops. WBZ News Radio 1030.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to the phones we go. Going to go to Joe in Belmont. Joe, next on Nightside. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. I'll tell you why Donald Trump isn't going to tweet his way out of the White House. Because you got to look at the big picture. In the big, like, 5 or 20% of the people are going to vote for him anyhow, no matter what he does. I know that's only a small percentage. But the reasons why he's stopping the globalists and the New World Order from advancing by cutting funds to the World Health Organization and the United Nations. He's helping evangelicals, religious people, Judeo-Christians. He's helping police, firemen, the Knights of Columbus, also evangelicals and veterans. Look what he's done for the blacks before the virus, on the employment, the Latins, Hispanic. I think you got to look at the big picture, what he's doing for the country. He might be 50% an isolationist by hurting the globalists, but what's your opinion, Dan?
Well, I think I've made my opinion pretty clear. I think you said that he's got, how big is his support? What percentage of the population do you think he has as his base, Joe? You gave me a number earlier. What was that?
Well, this was just people who are going to vote for him no matter what he does.
Yeah, so what percent?
20%.
How much?
5 or 20%.
And 5 or 20%. Okay. So how much do you need to win an election?
Well, I'm hoping that more people that didn't vote for him last time will vote for him. You need a lot to win, Dan.
Do you believe the polls recently, Joe? Meaning, since February, every major poll has shown him losing to Joe Biden.
Go ahead, Dan.
Do you believe those?
I think the polls are part of the fake news.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. President Trump apparently believes those polls, and I think that he now has a realization that whether it's fear or unfair, his performance on the coronavirus situation, fairly or unfairly, has not helped him. And his poll numbers are going down, down, down. And I think the tweeting thing, what did you think when you heard the white power comment that he retweeted? Do you think that he picked up any supporters by retweeting that?
Dan, I think he put his foot in his mouth, and he should be a lot more compassionate to the black and brown people.
Oh, I think he should listen to you, Joe, because I think that that he did accomplish a lot in terms of the economy. But gee, when you retweet something like that, it's what they call in tennis an unforced error.
And you know, the virus wasn't his fault, you know. Because the country is getting worse now. But it wasn't his fault.
Well, it was not his fault in that he didn't create it, but he was talking. Remember, he was saying that, that maybe we'd have a cure by Easter. Do you remember when he said that?
Yes.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is I think that it's always good to be optimistic. But when you're that optimistic, I mean, you know, and you don't fulfill the promise or the hope.
You know what I think, Dan?
He meant a different Easter. Maybe I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, Joe. Maybe he meant Easter of 2021. I thought he was talking about Easter of 2020.
I think you're right, Dan. But you know what? If we don't pray to God for a cure, the people don't pray. We might have this to 2024. I know I'm being pessimistic.
All right, Joe, you're being maybe realistic too. Thank you so much for your perspective. Appreciate your call, Joe.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Let's go to George in Brockton. Hi, George. How are you tonight?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing great, George.
Yeah, I've been thinking for 2 years that this guy's going to tweet himself out of the presidency. And, I'm sure if he does lose, he'll find someone else to blame. It's just never-ending. I thought it would end. I mean, you've had shows on it, but for 2 years now, this guy's been driving me crazy. I just don't see how
he expands his base with, again, I call that an unforced error, meaning do I think that he looked at that and said, oh, that's great, the guy yells white power, I want to send that. I don't believe that, because if I believed that, I would say, you know, he's nuts. I mean,
I know. You're right.
But you, before you retweet something, you should listen to it, don't you think?
Exactly, Dan. I don't know if you remember 2 weeks ago. I think it was on Fox, maybe. Maybe it was a tweet. He said, right now, I think it's great sitting back and watching this catastrophe, meaning the riots and all that. I mean, he's basically telling America that he's not interested in blue states. And, you know, that's a very irresponsible thing for any president to say that he's not the president of all the people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, you're elected president of all the people. And if you want to get reelected, you have to appeal a little more broadly than he's appealed. And I just, again, I look at this tweet stuff and I just thought, come on, how, you know. This one on whether it was yesterday, I guess it was yesterday. It was repulsive.
It's terrible, Dan. And you know, I was pretty good in history, that's in math, but no leader has ever stayed in power in world history that I know of that has failed to quell a rebellion. And I don't think any of your callers can quote one. If he doesn't get this thing in control, he's done. Forget about his tweets. He's done. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Well, I think that some of the mistakes that he made early, you know, talking about, you know, get the troops in. I mean, the fact of the matter is that that's a defensible position. Federal troops have been utilized oftentimes in the cause of desegregation. Little Rock, Arkansas, Montgomery, Alabama, George Wallace, or Orville Faubus, the former governor of Arkansas. You know, President Kennedy federalized U.S. troops. But in addition, I have never seen anybody who could put together such a loyal group of disloyal people. Everybody who worked for President Obama, to his credit, were very loyal to President Obama. I mean, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, Eric Holder, right on down the line. But President Trump has this ability. Everything with him is transactional. You know, he'll have somebody for a while, and then, you know, I don't. The more I see, the less I understand. Let me put it like that. Simple as that. George, I appreciate your call.
Yeah, okay. You're very welcome.
Talk to you soon. Have a great night. 617-254-1030. 888-929-1030. The question before you is Donald Trump going to tweet himself out of the White House? I mean, to me, it's if the Democrats could have drawn up a playbook in terms of tweet, 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 they couldn't have done it better. But he's not listening to anybody, I guess, other than Ivanka and Jared Kushner. Let's go to Susan in Chicago. Susan, you are next on Nightside. Susan is a Trump supporter. Susan, hi, how are you tonight?
You have to introduce me as a Trump supporter.
Well, I know you well enough, and I will withdraw that comment if you are no longer a Trump supporter.
Well, I would agree he should cut down on his tweets, and he should emphasize his accomplishments, and there are a plethora of them. Record employment, oil independence, border closing, working with Mexico, the fence building, destroying the territorial control of ISIS, trade agreement with China, Supreme Court originalist Kavanaugh, strengthening the military, veterans, more health care choices. And then I would ask Joe Biden what his accomplishments are. List one, 40 years in Washington, D.C. What has he accomplished?
You know, Susan, I will tell you, if Donald Trump was smart, he would call you up and say, I want you to be my media guru. You're correct. There's lots of things that he has accomplished. But I don't think people are thinking about those things when he gives, when he retweets something as dumb as what he retweeted this weekend. I mean, why not talk about, you know, the positives as opposed to continuing to, again, commit what I call, in tennis parlance, unforced errors?
Yeah, but I didn't hear that. But the media, did you know that Joe Biden said a few days ago 120 million Americans have died from the coronavirus? Do you
think
that?
I suspect that will be in Donald Trump's, re-election campaign ads. And I think that the media, Donald Trump has done nothing to endear himself to the media. And if he thinks the media is going to give him a break and they're going to jump all over Joe Biden because of that, it's not going to happen.
But
he needs to, you want to retweet something like that? Fine. But you're going to retweet some goofball riding in a golf cart in the villages in Florida that yells white power?
Well, you know what, right.
Yeah, I'm right. I am right on that.
But, you know, again, can you name a single accomplishment of Joe Biden? I know he enriched his family, his son Hunter in the Ukraine.
He would point to Obamacare. You might disagree with that, but he would point to Obamacare. He would point to that. And I'm sure that he jawbones some senators. Joe Biden is a target-rich environment, Susan.
Yes.
I'm stunned that the Democrats didn't throw him overboard, and there's still 4 months to go.
they probably will in February if he should win. They'll decide that he can't be president for various obvious reasons.
Well, there is the 25th Amendment. There is that.
when you are in office like Eisenhower or Woodrow Wilson, but not before you go into office, to be disabled.
Again, I just think that all Donald Trump is trying to reach out to minority voters. And obviously every vote that he can win, the Republicans have not done well amongst minority voters that he can win. And he did have, I think, an argument to be made in terms of, rising tide lifts. President Kennedy said a rising tide lifts all boats, and that unemployment was better amongst minority groups and amongst women and amongst, Asians and blacks and Hispanics. But all of that gets lost when you have, one jerk yelling white power, and the president of the United States retweets the video.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's, you would be a very competent advisor. You listed a bunch of reasons why Donald Trump could claim, rightfully, that the American people should reelect him. That's what he should talk about, in my opinion.
Yeah, and by the way, for evangelists, he is the pro-life president in terms of
Well, that's an interesting. We haven't even touched upon that decision today. John Roberts sort of contorted himself. He voted on an almost identical piece of legislation,
Texas.
I guess, out of Texas to uphold it and today to strike it down, relying upon the concept of stare decisis, which we understand. But, you know, it's Roberts is kind of an interesting chief justice. Let me put it like that. He was appointed by George Bush. Bush 43, and I think he is a very much a Bush Republican.
But Kavanaugh voted the right way.
Well, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch,
Gorsuch
voted the way that you would support. Clarence Thomas did, and Alito did. The block of four conservatives held together, and Roberts crossed over, as he has on other issues as well. But that's a whole story for another
day. Well, the issue is, should, you know, five people in black robes decide for 330 million Americans, an issue like this,
we've been doing that since Marbury versus Marshall. Yeah, I mean, for a long time. I mean, you know, it's a co-equal branch of government.
Well, not according to the Constitution.
Sure it is. I mean,
Article 1, the Congress. Well, anyway, yeah. We're getting off subject.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Susan. We'll talk soon. Okay, have a great night. Thank you, Jack and Newton. Jack, want to get you and at least one more in. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, what do you think about what I'm hearing that Donald Trump will resign before the nomination because he hates to lose, he'll be humiliated, but he'll put Pence in there. Pence will lose, and then the Donald will run again because you don't have to.
I don't know who you're listening to.
Well, I heard it from people in Israel, but I've also they said it was from Fox.
No. Well, again, Jack, you know, you're a good observer. If you could cite me the source on that, I then would ask you, what is that person smoking? I mean, there's no way. It's an interesting, it's an interesting theory. But let's see. Donald Trump is now 74. So if he were to step aside now and wait another 4 years, I think he then would be 79. I think that's Looney Tunes. You asked me a question. I haven't heard one legitimate columnist.
It's on the internet. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's on the internet.
No, there's a lot of stuff on the internet. There's some really crazy stuff. I don't doubt it's on the internet, but I'm saying if there was one political strategist, I mean, if there was a legitimate Democratic strategist or who said that's what they understand he's going to do, we could talk about it. But I think it's in la la land.
Well, I think it fits into with his psychology, is that he hates to lose. He could be so humiliated he could lose nearly every state, and that could
he's not going to lose every state, Jack. He's not going to lose every state. He'll win.
Whatever it is, but I'm just saying is that
do you think he's really in jeopardy of losing Wyoming or South Dakota?
I'm just saying. I hear it from Israel. I hear it from the Fox News that there's a rumor.
Who on Fox News? Who on Fox News said that? I mean, I'm just saying, put a name to it. Just so, you know, if you said to me Chris Wallace on Fox News over the weekend said that he had heard and had there was some credibility in it. No, it's Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
No, I understand that. And if it does happen, Jack, I want you to call up and I want you to take the biggest victory lap that you could ever imagine, because I will then be able to say, Jack told me something that I thought was Looney Tunes and I was absolutely wrong. I've been around this game a long time.
But in 1968...
He's enough of a narcissist. He doesn't think he can lose, Jack. He's a narcissist. That's what he is.
I think what's worse is that if he did lose in a humiliation, look at it, 1968, President Johnson shocked all of us and didn't run. He said he's not going to run. I was at Northwestern. I heard him.
Didn't shock me. Gene McCarthy had just stunned him in New Hampshire. Didn't beat him in New Hampshire, but got 42% of the vote and was perceived.
Administration stunned the country and said he would not run, and that led to Humphrey running. And losing to Nixon. President Johnson stunned us. He could have easily been reelected, I think, but he said
really?
No.
I don't think so.
It was, I think, mostly his health. But
yeah, I don't think so. He was dead. I think he was dead like about a year and a half later, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was that.
Jack,
that
I hate to do this to you, but I'm flat out of time, so I got to let you run, okay? But it's an interesting theory, but to me, it's Looney Tunes.
Okay.
I don't know how else to describe it.
All right. Have a
thanks.
Nice
night. Thanks. Have a great night, Jack. Okay. We're done for the hour. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll continue with this. And I also want to talk about to mask or not to mask. That is the question. Nancy Pelosi says real men wear masks. Well, Nancy must think I'm a real man because I do wear a mask, okay? I'd love to know.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.